G'day, my name's Paul Wallace. I'm the author of Escaping from Eden and my new book, The Scars of Eden. It's my very great pleasure to be sponsoring this new summit from Watchers Talk, Forgery Unmasked. 28 speakers from all around the world, MCs from 6 different continents, will be leading us through territory that will allow us to ask the question, who are we? The stories we tell about ourselves have phenomenal power. Power to minimize or to inspire. Power to infantilize or to educate. Power to pacify or to empower. And in particular, the stories we tell about who we are as a species. What is our potential? What is our place in the cosmos? And these are all questions that fascinate me and that I explore in The Scars of Eden. Our 28 speakers in Forgery Unmasked will be taking every angle on this, looking at questions of paleocontact, our development as a species, how we eat and what we drink if we want to maximize our human experience for consciousness and a better human life. We'll be looking at sound, vibration, and music for higher consciousness. We'll be taking another look at our evolution as a species. We'll be looking at the place of ancient and controversial knowledge in esoteric traditions, ancient Egyptian history, the question of previous civilizations, the question of Atlantis and forbidden archaeology, esoteric technologies. Every angle will be taken on this fascinating question. What is the truth of the stories we tell ourselves? And is there scope for a better human experience? Come and join us. I would love to welcome you. It's from the 27th to the 29th of this month, March 2021. We're going to have a fantastic time together. And it's a place where we're going to hear lots of different views, lots of different pieces of research, lots of different perspectives, and a place where we give permission to each other to have differing views. We all don't have to come away thinking and believing exactly the same thing. It's a time to pool our thinking and listen to one another to expand our awareness and consider new avenues we may not have considered before. So I want to thank you in advance for joining us. I am so looking forward to being part of this amazing array of speakers from all around the world. It's a very exciting time in my view. I think there's a tremendous waking up that's happening right now as people are saying to each other, I've never really believed, I've always wondered, and the old stories no longer satisfy. So that we want to know what's for real and what kind of life am I really capable of? What kind of human experience are we all capable of? So I'll see you there at Forgery Unmasked, March 27 to 29. Follow the links, register, and we'll have a great conversation.
What's up, guys? What is up? I'm back. Call me the Terminator or the Consciousnator. One or the two. You know, I don't mind Terminator of the old view, the old perspective, the old paradigm, and the Consciousnator of today, bringing you conscious material, conscious conversations, conscious everything. So my name is Omar, and I am the host here at Watchers Talk. It should be more like Team Watchers Talk because, you know, Watchers Talk collaborates with a lot of people out there. And one of those guys I've got right here with me today, and let's bring him on stage here. Good old
hey,
Greg. What is up, Greg?
Omar, I love everything you're doing, man. I am so happy to be here. I'm ready to let's shatter the paradigm.
Good right sir. On, right on, brother. So we've got ourselves Greg Bornstein of Open Loops Podcasts, The Conversations That Bend. And that is something we're going to put to the test here today. And we're going to see if we can have, a really bend conversation that's going to bend our minds, because that's what's really it's all about, eh, Greg? To explore new ideas, new things, new perspectives, new perceptions, so that we can have a better human experience for ourselves, so our consciousness and our self, self awareness is elevated and ignorance is lifted, and that's really the end goal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sometimes just looking at the complete opposite view of everything that you've held ideologically close will do exactly that. I remember in high school, there was a period of time where I started reading all the Michael Moore stuff. It was George W. Bush, John Kerry, the debate, 2004. I was all liberal. I was all into it. And all of a sudden I said, you know what? Let me just pick up Ann Coulter. Let me just pick up Bill O'Reilly. And all of a sudden, even that, which isn't really a fringe thing, like we're not going into alien territory, it already started like that new, you could feel neurons forming in my head that weren't there. And it just made me go, well, wait a minute, why am I holding everything sacred? Why? And that's what I love. I mean, look, you're doing it with Forgery Unmasked coming up. You have all these guests coming that are just, they are totally, I mean, this is way beyond Bill O'Reilly here. This is, where did we come from? Who are we? And who's running everything? But my gosh, to say I'm even open to entertaining that conversation, man, that's why I love podcasting. I know that's why you're doing all this research too.
Yeah, absolutely. The people that we've got coming up are like, some of the leading researchers in their field in the world, for instance, Dr. Rasmanovic. He is probably the most well-traveled archaeologist on the planet. Then we have a guy like Brad Olson, who's on the cutting edge esoterics and Antarctica and exploration of the world, and John Shaughnessy with the pyramid gravity force and gravity lensing. And then we've got Terry Vincent coming on teaching us about diet and yoga and exercise and how we can free up our chakras so that they do better work for us, and so our avatar and our machine, right, this cosmic hot rod that we have, right, works at its optimum speed. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I love doing this kind of stuff, Greg.
Yeah,
because it first of all, like I said, it raises your self-awareness, and when your self-awareness is raised, a little bit of ignorance is lifted and you understand something a little bit better. And and then also, it's just not about the guests, right? It's also about the conversation that happens in the chat room, right? Because the speaker's saying one thing, and then you have like 50 people, 100 people that are having a conversation,
right?
And they're just
right.
coming up with like some badass ideas, right? So it's like sometimes it becomes very difficult to pay attention to who's saying what, right? It's like, okay, my speaker's saying
yes.
this, but it's a really good conversation going on in the comments here.
totally. No, I love all this stuff. Do you ever think, Omar, my question is always, well, look, you're doing this conference. There are tons of, before the internet, there were always psychic expos and alien abductee conventions and stuff like that. What happens if everybody starts talking about this stuff? That's always my fear. What do we unmask next? If the fringe becomes the mainstream, do you ever think about what that world would be?
Yeah, that would be, that's our goal, really, because what we're trying to do is change people's perception, because we understand and we know that perception changes our reality. So we can write the program in this matrix for tomorrow if we wanted to. But, you know, when there's a group of people or a community of people or a country of people or millions of people that are doing the same thing, then suddenly the perception will change. And with that perception, it actually is good things, because then animal abuse is out the window, human abuse is out the window, planet abuse is out the window, self-awareness has risen, you're vibrating and distorting at a higher level, you understand where you come from, you understand what your species is all about, you understand what you're capable of doing, and then you live your life from that point forward. And you share everything that you have with everyone that's on the planet, because really, you know, face it, we're all in this together. This is the same little air bubble that we're cruising through in space, and there's nowhere else we can go but stay together. And the best way to stay together is to be harmonious. Like, you know, the way I see it, you know, if you live in a household and somebody's always angry in your house, you know, the tension is, you cut it with a butter knife. Right. There's just that much tension. And when that's happening in our home, in our backyard, which is the earth, when it's happening in there, then, that's not acceptable, because we all need to live like a family. We say that we're advanced and civilized species or an intelligent species. So we need to, live up to that and put that term to test, because, so far, we haven't really produced what we've been saying, especially over the last few thousand years, due to whatever the reason, it is that we find ourselves in this position. But, that's kind of where we are right now. But, through conversations that bend, through podcasts like Open Loops and Full Spectrum Universe and Portal to Ascension and Orion Rising and Broadcast Alpha Team, I can just keep on naming them, right? It's just through groups like this that is raising that that awareness in people, and getting to them and asking themselves questions, because right now it's the best time for people to ask questions, especially over the past year, because we've all been at home, pretty much sitting in front of the computer, and you're watching YouTube video after YouTube video, and listening to podcasts. So eventually a person's going to begin to ask questions, right? Like earlier you were talking about the books that you picked up. For me, it was, books like Eric von Daniken, Michael Primo, David Icke. I was heavily influenced by David Icke. I really love his stuff. I, truly think he's on to, the point that we're all trying to explore, right? He's cutting edge on that.
Yeah. I was going to say alternative archaeology. I always love these terms, alternative archaeology. I'm going, but why, if there are people all over the world, like you're having people who've traveled all over the world, these guests of great renown, why isn't it that why are we still, who came up with the label alternative archaeology? That feels like when the CIA coined conspiracy theorist.
You said it there, right there. It is along the same line as the word conspiracy, because this alternative, right, the alternative is a to me that's more like a brainwash word, where they're trying to get you to believe something or their own narrative, and their narrative is the Darwinian narrative. So when somebody else comes along and does archaeological work, they want to make it out to be pseudoscience, or it's not true, that our stuff is true and whatever they're saying is not. So they add that little term to it, right? Alternative. And then now, and then the sheeple from the barn come around, right? And then they hear that, and the sheep are really good at regurgitating, right? I've really noticed that they're really, really good at regurgitating what they see on TV. So when they move off and they hear this term, right, alternative archaeology, and the next time they see something like that where somebody's saying, hey, I think pyramids are a machine, then suddenly they're gonna, that term is gonna come back to them, because they're heavily brainwashed into that. And then right away, they're just going to write that off, and they're going to say, oh, fantasies, they're just fantasies. How can the stone be turned into a machine? And, and then having that really low brain, low vibrating thinking, and not willing to have that, eagerness to explore the idea of what this person is really saying. And they're just perfectly happy with the narrative. And they're really, and as we were saying, this is now the time where that narrative is being crashed. Like right now, a buddy of mine, Neil Gore, as you know him, he's doing a cannabis conference, and he's doing that right now. He's been live all day. I've been watching him, you know, some really good stuff. So yeah. Maybe after the show, guys, go and check that out over at Portal to Ascension Cannabis Conference, day one. I believe it's a two-day conference, I think it's a two-day conference.
They've legalized weed in the U.S., but they haven't legalized Neil Gore being on Facebook again. That's the...
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Well, that's the weird thing. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's just content, right? He brings you lots of conscious content and makes you ask questions. And Facebook doesn't want that. Facebook wants you to follow the narratives. Facebook wants you to know that, Mr. Potato Head is a bad man. We can carry on, but I don't want to, really antagonize the AI. In case they boot me.
Yes. Can we get you kicked off? Well, we don't want that.
It's happened. My page Watchers Talk, I had 25,000-30,000 followers a couple of years back. And, the views I was getting on my content and, the message that I was spreading, Facebook didn't like it. And they began to, really shadow ban my stuff. And then eventually one day they just deleted my page. And,
oh, my gosh.
And that was it. And that's when I created Observing Humanity Outside of the Cube. But, the eagerness to want to continue to work on that page is like really not there. Right. The motivation, it's just not there because I'm not really quite sure what they're going to do. If they come back, they say, oh, we don't like what you're putting up. We're going to delete you. And then all this time is wasted. So that's why I just kind of just turned to my my own Facebook page and said, fuck it. Right. I'm just going to, just post to my page and that's it. And then if they want to delete me, go ahead, delete me. I don't really care.
Yeah. I think that is nice. I feel that we are both at the point where, and you've been doing this a while longer than I have. Not too much longer, but not like 15. Maybe you have been doing it for 15 years, Omar. I have no idea. No. But you've been doing it before I have, Watchers Talk and whatnot. I don't feel, and I know I'm going to say this now and it's going to bite me in the behind one day. I don't feel I'm at a point too far along where I could have someone. I've had people on my show say outrageous things, but it's not, I don't have enough, I guess you could say, fame or notoriety to have, Spotify employees be upset that Open Loops Conversations That Bend is hosted on their platform. But I certainly, I don't even know if I intend that. I rather just keep talking about the stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to create the, the reality for myself by, introducing the idea in my mind that Facebook is going to ban my Facebook page.
Right.
So if I create that perception and that idea in my mind and that thought goes out into the ether, then eventually that idea and that thought is going to gather enough energy to where it's just going to backfire on me. And then they will do it. But
That's something you told me when we did the episode of my show, The Hidden History of the Illuminati, with Stephen Erdman and yourself. I said, why haven't they taken you out? I was like, dude, you are talking about the most controversial stuff. You are naming the names. You're, let's just say the star of Big. No, we're talking about Tom Hanks. We're talking about this stuff. And I said, dude, you're going to get in trouble for this. Why aren't you afraid? And he said, because I don't operate in a reality where I allow that to happen.
That
stayed with me.
Yeah. And that's the key, because when we live in a society, in a world right now where it's perpetual state of fear, and it has been like that for, thousands of years now. And when you live in that small perception of that, small amount of fear, then that fear really rules and dictates your life. It doesn't matter how small the fear is. You can say, oh, I'm afraid of ants, but that fear is eventually going to just morph into something different and get bigger and bigger and bigger. For me, I just don't want to give that, that emotion any energy, because, it is an emotional state. And I know that I am in an emotional avatar, but I have control over this avatar and I have control in how it responds. And that's the trick that we all need to learn in our lives, because, you know, it's like when you're stuck in a, you know, in traffic or somebody cuts you off and you yell at them and you curse at them and you throw profanities at them and wish them all kinds of horrible things, you know, out of anger. But then you're driving down the road and you think to yourself and you say, well, I really didn't mean to say that. Right. So where we need to stop ourselves is that in that emotional response, and then think about the second step first and realize what you're saying and what you're thinking. Because if you wish death on that person, oh, I hope he gets hit by a truck, right? Then you've thrown that thought out there, that, you know, that perception, that, you know, alternative timeline, let's say. And then this guy eventually, you know, maybe not him, somebody else, where, you know, this thought just gathers energy and gathers energy, especially when you have millions of people saying it every single day.
You know? Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of energy going into that one particular idea and one particular thought. And then, of course, that thought is going to rule the day. So don't allow that to happen to begin with. Right.
Right.
Respond with emotion. Right. Respond with heart and then go to the emotion.
Yeah. You know, this makes a lot of sense. And I also think this applies to, I mean, look, David Icke has been censored, but David Icke hasn't been killed. I wonder, it makes me think about, for people that have been, I suppose, taken out by the elites, victims of the people, and it's probably, well, maybe it's the Clintons, I don't know, but somebody there we go, Facebook's getting into trouble, but whoever took out people with dissenting voices, do you think, Omar, that maybe there was an internal struggle going on that then allowed them to believe that they could be taken out, and that's why it happened?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how it happens, because like I was saying, when you live in that fear factor, then that fear factor is going to become alive. And David Icke hasn't been taken out because David Icke lives in the same bubble as I do, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't allow that to happen, where he says, this is my human experience and I'm in control of it. And what happens is only by my permission. So whatever power that's out there, like the hidden Illuminati or these hidden families or assassins, you know, he's more powerful than they are, because he has, you know, the ether, the consciousness working for him, right? Working along with him. So if any harm comes towards him, it's somehow blocked, right? It's just, it doesn't really, you know, manifest itself towards him, because, you know, he's living in this such a bubble to where, you know, kind of imagine, you know, Star Trek's shield around their ship, around
yes.
You know, the Enterprise, and, you know, the energy just can't penetrate that. And that's kind of the bubble that we all live in, right? But, you know, some of our bubbles are a little smaller. Some of our bubbles are a little bit bigger. Some people have an enormous bubble, like David Icke. I've often wondered as well, you know, like, you know, why hasn't he been killed? They've killed, you know, what's his name? Robin Williams. They killed a guy off of, you know, that band who sang that song. What was that?
Chris Black Cornell?
Yeah. Soundgarden, right? Killed him off. And, you know, a number of other people, like in these doorknob killings, right? So, you know, I've always wondered why hasn't it happened? So it kind of just, you know, occurred to me that maybe he lives in that state of mind. So tell me, Greg, you know, you've been doing this open loops now for a few years. And
I wish I could say a few years. It started last June.
Oh, no shit. You started last June?
Yeah.
You just have so much content, bro.
I know. I pumped out a lot. The pandemic, man. The pandemic.
Yeah. So what got you started in it? Like, first of all, you know, tell me the background on the name, right? What is Open Loops?
Yes. Okay. So, oh man, there's so much that could go into this background, but let me put it this way. There was a coach, this guy named Spencer Burnett. who was the one that initially really I worked with pretty closely to, he's the one that said, dude, you want to level up your life right now? You have a lot of interest. Do a podcast with it. That's the short story. Now, how did I get to the name? How did I get to the podcast? Because what Spencer does, Spencer Burnett, he created something called Precise Language. And the idea being this, the language that you are telling yourself, the way you perceive different events, can actually cut you off from being the most functional human. And I'll give you the example. You say, he always talks about voids. For instance, if you're going throughout your day and you want to start a project, you might say, well, yeah, I just don't have time to get to that. And he's saying, well, actually, if you're looking at from a fifth, he gets pretty into this stuff. He says, if you're looking at a fifth dimensional level of language, voids don't actually exist. There's something that's always present there. So when you say, I don't have time, that's void language. So you have to go, well, you do have time for something else. So what are you doing with that time? And he really has this process, which from the hypnosis world, it's similar, but he comes at it from a different spiritual perspective to the neurolinguistic programming meta model, which is taking the way the brain works and deleting, generalizing, and distorting language. And basically he works with you to break that down. So I had a session with him and he said in this session, because I've been interested in various things, Omar, over the years. I mean, I've studied hypnosis, but I come from a performing arts background, trained in acting at Stella Adler Studio, NYU. I've performed in acting. I've done sales jobs, all sorts of different things, but I've never really landed into what is the lane of things I want to be doing. And he said, look, dude, you have a ton of open loops, tons of open loops in your head. I said, what does that mean? And he says, you want to start something. You have different interests and various interests and you want to start. And then when you don't finish the project, what happens is that meant there's a leakage going out in mental energy. When you say you're going to start something and you don't, it's just, it ends up being an open loop in your mind that's incomplete. And it just compounds and compounds and compounds. So you just keep having this drainage factor going up, and man, that leads to states like anxiety, depression. We need to figure out what's going on. We need to get you excited about a project. Then he said, do this podcast, because I said, well, you know, I've been interested in hypnosis and NLP and all this mind stuff and a little bit of fringe type of topics and conspiracies. I don't really know what to do with it. And he said, dude, you've got a voice, you've got the presence. You can bring on guests. You've got your perspective. Teach people about this stuff. Share it. And then, because that's going to close all the loops. And I said, oh, let's call it Open Loops. Let's do it. Yes, right in that conversation. Yeah, because really Open Loops also comes from hypnosis first. That's where I first heard it. It's the Zeigarnik effect, if anybody's ever heard of that before. It comes from marketing. The idea of, you see this on sales pages all the time, I'm going to tell you three things right now that I changed in my business that allowed me to get from $15 an hour job to six figures a year. But before I get to that, let me tell you what I started from. That idea is consciously opening a loop to draw people in. And great hypnotists, Omar, do this all the time. They're doing it as a means of getting people to access untapped states of mind in their head. So you suggest something, and then the idea being their unconscious fills in the blanks. So I said, hey, look, let's do a whole show that's all about dedicating ourselves to the mysteries of what's happening when the unconscious isn't satisfied, i.e., what does it mean that there are aliens on this planet? What does it mean that there's a hidden conspiracy of people that are running everything? How does hypnosis work? All these sort of things that provoke curiosity, that tap into something deeper than just everyday conversation, those are the open loops I like to explore. That's the birth of the show.
Nice. That's a pretty cool background. And, you know, it really kind of resonates with me as well, because, you know, when you were saying, you know, that it creates these open loops and it compounds on top of one another, you know, when you were saying that, I was thinking about your energy, right? Because in your mind, you've, you know, created this this project, and a certain amount of your energy you've dedicated to that project. You know, subconsciously, you've given it that little bit of energy. So when it compounds and compounds and compounds, it just means that you're adding more and more and more and more energy into that. And that energy is compounding and it's becoming heavier and heavier and heavier, because you're not doing anything with it, right? Energy can't be destroyed. It can't be created. Energy just is, right? So when you have this open loops and this energy is just created, 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 and then now you have this outlet of, you know, releasing all that energy, right? Your avatar, I bet, is probably feeling a whole lot better, right?
Because the, yes,
that lift of this, you know, you're getting rid of that that used up energy, right? You're not you know, replenishing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's and again, I shout out to Spencer Burnett. I'm not here to plug him, but I definitely think his mentality, he has like a Facebook group called Flow State for Entrepreneurs. He said, hey, look, everything you ever want, information is available on the internet. You can learn about anything you want. Therefore, the issue is no longer not having information when you want to start a business or learn how to be more successful in your love life, whatever the things are, it's all out there. But the problem then becomes, so why isn't everybody doing it? Well, it's because the brain gets too distracted. The way the world works, the way culture comes in, there's so much going on that the individual operating system of each person is not optimized currently to match the excess of information. Mm-hmm. So he's figured out a way, and it gets very binary, but he gets to it, of using something like the Trello board. I don't know if you've ever used a Trello board or one of those organization softwares like Asana, where it's putting up note cards and planning. So it's artistically planning projects for your intentions, and then transferring that to a Google Calendar so that you actually map out your week, map out your day with, I'm going to dedicate an hour to working on the summit, and then 2 hours to marketing for this. And then so you plan the week so that all you have to do is show up at the time box when you say, I'm going to do this thing. When you're able to restructure your brain in that way, where you've mapped out with what your intentions are, as opposed to saying, the mistake he often points out is that people go, well, I have a deadline to get this done by the end of the week. And then what happens is that becomes an open loop, and it's too much energy. You're going, well, I got to get this deadline. But at the end of the day, to get this deadline met, you have to sit down in front of the computer. You have to pull open the file. You maybe have to research for an hour. So rather than focusing on the big goal, focus on how do you chunk down step by step and actually map it out in a way that's sustainable, that by the end of the week, you finally step by step build to this thing. And then boom, the loop is closed. Mental satisfaction. You start conditioning your brain to say, ah, I am the type of person that shows up at this time when I say I do something. Thus, it builds your integrity too, because that's really what it comes down to. Are you being integral with your goals? And then boom, if you're that kind of person, my gosh, you can, to get to a higher vibration like we're talking about, that's a much more tangible way. I want to do something. I mark out how I'm going to do something. I show up to do it, and I've done it.
As well, it raises your vibration as well, because when you're rewarded, right, through your actions, you know, whether it be physically or non-physically, you're rewarded, your mind, you feel better about yourself, and then that's, yeah, you know, your field is increased a little bit more, and you feel better about yourself. And when you feel better about yourself, then next time you approach another project, then you have that you know, sensation or that emotion behind you, and you accelerate at the next one, and then it just compounds on itself.
Exactly.
Right? So it's the balance of one or the other, right? If you spend your time procrastinating, then it's just going to build up. But if you don't, then you're on the easy lane, brother.
Yeah, man. And look at this. I mean, I would not have imagined a year ago that I would have been interviewed by you, that I would be a host at this Forgery Unmasked event. Let's see. I could walk through the step by steps. I had done this show for a while. I saw a post from Steven Erdman. I saw this guy's writing about the Illuminati. I reached out to him. I said, hey, I want to interview you on my show. And he said, yeah, I have this friend, Omar. Boom, 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 boom. Now we're here.
Yeah, that's the universe.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it sure is. It really is. Everything happens for a particular reason. You know, it's something that may happen today. It may not come to fruit for another year or two or three, but eventually when you look back and you connect the dots, everything is connected, regardless of what it is. You know, in my mind there's no coincidences, because it just things are planned beforehand, and all we're doing is just filling in, like you were saying, to show up at the time box. What we've done is that we've showed up in this avatar and these events in this farm game that we're playing. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have play farm games, right? You have to raise chickens and
yes
and things like that. And when you I played similar games as those with my wife, and when I look at that and I tell my wife and I go, look, those people, inside that computer on that game, think that's real. Them going to the market, they think that it's real. And when I take my mouse and I tap them, they look up to the sky and they wave at me. So to them, I am God. And they don't realize that they're inside of a matrix, and what they're going to do next is really dictated on what I am going to do. And they're just going to follow the direction. And this world, this dream world that we're interacting with, is the same thing for consciousness, right? Like my unique point of attention that this avatar is, I've inhabited it, my energy, and it's just going to play that game where, certain things are already pre-planned and predestined, let's say. And all I have to do is show up to that spot. Something will happen. Then I proceed forward, something else. And that's how the entire life is. So that's really where a question of free will comes to play, right? It's like,
have
free will, because if everything is predestined, then you really don't have free will. So it's really free will, an illusion of this, fourth dimensional space that we occupy, right? So it opens up, a whole shit ton of questions on, every question opens up like a rabbit hole because of the fact that we've been lied to, we've been misled, we've been shit upon, we've been misinformed. And so now I think the biggest thing that people have to do with themselves is to unlearn everything that they've learned and then relearn. And that's where the summit comes in. And that's kind of like why I do what I do. And guys like Rob and even yourself and Neil, is where we've ascended the process of unlearning, and we've unlearned ourselves to, a degree to where we were able to fill that void, that gap in knowledge, with this new knowledge that we're learning every single day. And because we understand that through summits and conferences and webinars and interviews like this, tidbits of that information comes out, right? And people pick up on that, which raises the quality of their life. And now if quality of their life is better and their perception becomes better, then that's added to the pool, because it's the same perception that you have, I have, and then eventually, to do a full circle back to what you were saying earlier, then eventually there'll be millions and then billions of people that'll be thinking in the same perception and the same idea, the same way of life. Then that way of life will, manifest itself, because that in itself too is predestined and pre-written, right? Because we need to go through these loops, right?
Yes.
Of humanity You know, we had Atlantis and Lumeria and, you know, ancient Egypt. And those are loops in, you know, the links in the chain to something bigger, right? So we go from, you know, a fourth dimensional being to a fifth, to the sixth, to the seventh, to the eighth, nine, 10, 11, 12, climb the ladder. And then when we get to the very top and we reemerge with the infinite consciousness, then we come right back down to the bottom and then start as a microorganism and begin our, you know, begin that cycle all over again. And that's all this, all of this is. It's just a cycle. So to highlight that in conferences and summits is, you know, is the thing to do. It's the right thing to do, I think.
Oh, yeah. And that's what... Well, they, oh yeah, I mean, that's what cultural hypnotist. I love that. Look, that's just something that came to me recently, or at least I was looking at what I'm doing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Then also the conscious disruptor. Explain both those terms to me, please, because I've seen that on your page, and I like that financial disruptor, not financial.
Well. In some ways, you could say. Now, look, consciousness disruptor. Yes, that's what I was. You know what? Disruption is what it's all about these days, right? Yes, at one level, I realize that there is a meta position that you have to take when you market everything. So even though I am using a term that is very mainstream right now, it's very mainstream to say disruption is mainstream. I hear that all the time. Oh, look at Airbnb. It disrupted hotels. Uber disrupted taxis. Great. The pandemic disrupted everything, and we're looking at things from that lens. So that I'm realizing
disrupted America.
Look, everybody do your research into that situation. Right. So disruption is the key. So on one level, I'm going, yeah, that is really what I do feel that I'm going into that realm. And I just feel that hypnosis is consciousness disrupting. And doing shows like Open Loops, doing Watchers Talk, doing the summit, there needs to be the idea of someone coming on your show and singing, in the case of, you know, Leah Capitale, Steven and Evan Strong, who've been on your show. They're speaking at the summit. I just put out an episode with them last week. They're coming on and saying, hey, guess what? Everything you've heard about the out of Africa theory of evolution, the idea that we descended from apes, that's wrong. We strongly believe it's wrong. Here's why. So everybody's going through their lives in a waking trance state. They hear Darwin's theory of evolution. And they also hear intelligent design on the other side. They hear creationism versus evolution. And then, you know, someone out there is publicly saying, hey, look, look at this alternative theory about our ancient alien ancestry. And here's some proof that shows that some of these things are off. Well, guess what? That is... disrupting consciousness, disrupting people on a daily basis. And I'm proud to be doing that.
Yeah, that's I like that as well, because, you know, you're disrupting their perception, right? Their consciousness has believed that, you know, we arose from a monkey and we used 10% of our brain and we came out of Africa. And then suddenly somebody comes out of left field and says, no, actually, we came from Australia and aliens are our ancestors. Oh, yeah. That's total disruption.
I love it. And I've realized that's what I do. In my job, I'm disrupting. At the office and in class, I was always the class clown. I think I have a lot. History of disrupting people, and I suppose that's the mischief of the show too. I love having people that have cogent conversations like this, and then I had this guy who, I mean, I feel bad, Mark Jacox. While I don't agree with everything he said, this man, I spoke with him on the show. He's the one that said Gisele Bündchen is an earthworm. He has been rejected from other speakers. He has said things to people that have been offensive. And even he was telling me there was a guy that said he could come on his show and that it was all a gag, which I'm like, okay, that's not nice to do to someone. If you're going to tell them they're going to get a slot and actually not give them a slot. I had him on because his views are so weird. so out there that I knew it would cause disruption. And I enjoy the game of that sometimes just as much as the arguments people are making. The idea of bringing people on a show to have these views to me is just as interesting as the ideas themselves. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. And I think I came across one of your posts on your Facebook group, Open Loops Community. Check that out, guys. That you had one show that you had blocked or
someone got mad at me at first for putting it up.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. And I was like, oh, I bet this is a really good show.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think it was the most controversial of them. Yeah, I mean, one of the guys that I had on that I thought was going to be a lot more controversial at first, but it really wasn't, was Dr. Kim Yopst. Who, my gosh, I mean, Omar, I should put you in contact with this guy because he's fascinating. He's based in London. He is a metaphysician. The Dalai Lama has had him speak before. He's worked with Dr. John DeMartini. He wrote a paper called Disease is a Manifestation of I believe it's a manifestation of meaning. And his entire argument is that why are we looking towards pharmaceutical companies to be the saviors, even in a case like this? Why aren't we looking at why COVID came out? Beyond, you could say it's a man-made disease that, and I'm sure Rob Yox he's told me his thoughts on where it came from, but in terms of the way that it reacts to people, and in terms of the way that we're going about fighting it, I mean, look, I'll talk about Bill Maher for a second. He's one of the people that I watch his show regularly. Yes, he's more liberal narrative, so some people here might not like that, but he said very early on in the pandemic, at the very least, they could be coming out and saying people should eat healthier, and no one's done that. All they've been pushing is a vaccine. At the beginning, they said we're going to have to wait to a vaccine. No one in the public office said anything about changing diet. No one said anything about that health stuff that could actually really make a difference. And Dr. Kim Yopst came on my show, and he also said, hey, look, I think disease in general is really, we're not looking, the psychosomatic stuff behind it is absolutely a key factor. And we even concluded by the end of the episode that maybe the vaccine that really everybody needs is just a shift in perception.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, I thought that was kind of controversial. And even I questioned him about, you know, well, wait a minute, are you anti-vax and all that stuff? And he said he wasn't, but also look at who is profiting by putting out vaccines in mass droves in a just a rushed way. We should at least question the meaning behind that versus the meaning that we could all be getting from bringing something healthier into our immune systems in the first place.
Yeah, see, when we talk about health, Greg, that's a really good point. And, I do agree that, a lot of disease is created by the mind, and the media is the culprit behind that, planting the seed, right? The media is essentially the farmer, because when they come out in your nightly news that a lot of people watch, they give you like all these ridiculous statistics, right? They say, oh, well, nowadays, 8 out of 10 men are going to get a prostate cancer. So you right. have some guy sitting on the couch and he starts to think, he's like, oh my God, what if I get prostate cancer? Do I have prostate cancer? And now he begins to, conceptualate that idea in his head, and he's giving it energy, and, he's giving it life. So the more you're, confronted with these, so-called stats, the more seed it plants, the more the tree grows. And eventually, yes, you will manifest that thought into, a benign tumor, or maybe a tumor or a disease, or who knows. But on the other hand as well, diet, as much as I'd like to agree with that, nowadays, I just simply can't agree with that, because all the seeds that we have in the world right now are GMO seeds. And you know, and all these seeds that are growing, when they tell you that, oh, well, this is organic food. Well, no, it's not organic food. It's just simply labeled organic because since Trinity in, you know, like 1943, I think it was, since Trinity to today, these guys have detonated 2,056 to 2,060 nuclear and atomic devices on this planet, atmospherically, on the ground, underground, in the water, you know, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. And when you begin to do the math on that and think to yourself, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, right? It's like, oh, 72 years, they've blown up 2,056. Yeah. Doesn't sound like much. But when you begin to do the math work on it, it actually turns out that these guys have been blowing up nuclear bombs on our planet every single week for the last 72 years.
That's crazy.
Think about that for a minute. When you do the math, right? Take 72, right? 72, 73 years, whatever it is, and divide it by 2,056. You know, it turns, and then crunch that down to months and crunch that down to weeks. It works out that these guys are blowing up a nuclear bomb once a week on our planet for the last 73 years. Now, that has to have done some sort of damage to our planet, that, you know, radioactive material, which is in our atmosphere, and it clungs on to dust particles and then to water. And then it rains down on us, goes in our oceans, and it goes into our freshwater lakes, goes onto our soil. So everything on this planet is actually radioactive, is contaminated. That's why in the late 70s and early 80s, they came out with the GMO seeds, which can withstand the radiation of the water, right, of the dirt, so that it'll bear fruit. So the old seeds, they took and put it in a vault up in Norway, right? So everything else is, you know, is GMO and is artificial. So when they come at you with the, you know, they say, well, this is organic food. No, it's not organic food because it's coming from the same seed, same dirt. Same radioactive dirt, same radioactive water, same fluoride-ridden water. You know, so and you're paying $3 extra because they gave you this term, like organic.
Well, oh yeah, I think we're agreeing. Yeah, in so a different way. Because you still think we should eat. I don't think you're saying we should be healthy and eat.
Yeah, we should still eat our vegetables. We should still eat our fruits and you know, nuts and berries and kind of what have you, right? My point is that a lot of disease that we are getting is through the food that we are eating.
Right, right. Right.
So if we use diet to try to eliminate the disease, then it's not going to really, you know, eliminate the disease. It's like getting, you know, an AIDS patient getting a blood transfusion from another AIDS patient. You know, it's not going to do anything. It's fruitless effort. So,
right.
You know, I'm not really quite sure, you know, what you can do besides, you know, smoke up a lot of pot. You know, drink, you know, consume CBDs, you know, things like that, natural medicine that will help fight any disease that you may have. But the number one thing I think that needs to be pointed out is our perception, right?
Right.
We need to stop paying attention to these statistics that they come out with, right? You know, 90 out of 100 men will have a heart attack this year, and 6 out of 10 women will get breast cancer, and this negative, negative, negative. And then eventually, yeah, if you hear it long enough, then it takes root in your mind, and it's always there. And then that is what's creating it. So I agree with that doctor up to that perspective, that the mind is creating these, but, you know, combating it with diet is, you know, something I can't agree with, because...
That's fair. And to give him credit, I don't think he's saying that either. I guess I suppose what it comes down to is just I think it was more saying that in context of vaccine versus like a Pfizer created top level medication with profits behind it versus other things that might be better to do now. Now, I'm sure that I know this guy is not advocating for eating nuclear fueled mac and cheese every day. But no, I know what you mean. And you know what? I should have. The episode was called Disease is a Manifestation of Health, which that makes it more interesting. Now I'm realizing, yes, disease is a manifestation of health. The idea being that 8 out of 10 people get this, 8 out of 10 men get this. And the body is ultimately trying to heal. That's his greater point, that we look at disease as this divisive thing. And I think this even goes back to what we were talking about with conspiracies. I used to think, Omar, that these conspiracy theorists, as the CIA called them, but people in the conspiracy community were just, it was always negative, people in charge, da 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 da. And what I love about what you're doing, and people like Rob and everybody else, Age Nost, and in the community that are saying, hey, look, there is an agenda here. Look at the darkness. People don't always realize that there is the light at the end too. The point is, look at what's happening so that you can come together, that glimmer of hope factor, or not even hope. I was just schooled on that word from someone. The knowing factor, the knowing that we are the universe's ultimate goal is to move towards love. It's to move towards connection rather than divisiveness. That's what this doctor was saying. Even in the realm of disease, it's easy to forget that when you're having heart issues and you've had a terrible relationship with your father, well, maybe if you called your dad and apologized, and you took the right means of healthy action, exercise, these things could work to really have a positive effect, because the universe wants you to move there. Mm-hmm. It's a manifestation of moving towards rather than just ruining and breaking apart.
Yeah, you know, I go to the point of, you know, this body computer that we have is, you know, constantly self-regenerating. Right? It's constantly shedding hair, it's constantly shedding skin, it's constantly shedding nails, you know, blood, what have you. It's constantly regenerating itself. If you cut yourself, you reheal. You know, so the idea of, you know, disease being there, it's really up to the person and it's up to their mind. Because, you know, I'll make an example. You know, when you're a child up until, you know, about 4 or 5 years old, if you lose the tip of your finger, the body will regenerate that tip of the finger. It'll grow back the bone, it'll grow back the tissue, the nails, right? So it knows what to do, right? So the body is not going to go out of its way to get prostate cancer or to get, you know, breast cancer. And those are introduced ideas in order to create disease, right?
Right.
So, you know, they're introduced, because if you don't think about the fact that you're not going to get sick, then you're not going to get sick, right? Children, they're not aware of that. They don't think that, hey, if I lose the tip of my finger, it's never going to grow back, right? But as you get a little bit older, as you get more information and more brainwashed, then you have this idea that, you know, hey, once you lose your baby teeth, don't lose your adult teeth, because they'll never come back, right? So yes. Now you have this idea in your mind that your adult teeth will never come back, but there are people out there who lose their adult teeth and they grow a new one back. Right. So
totally, you
know,
totally.
I don't know if that's about genetics, but, you know, I'm still thinking that it has to more to do with your perception than, you know, than anything else. But, you know, when you live here in the West and you're constantly eating poison and processed foods and kind of what have you, and then being hit with these terrible statistics on a daily basis, that's going to create a perception and it's going to create a health crisis. So for me, when I look at vaccines, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, nor am I a vaxxer. You know, all I know is that when I was born, I was given a few shots. Those shots worked. You know, people had polio, people took polio shots, they worked. So there are vaccines that do work that are good for us, but then there's other vaccines that are not. And I, you know, I'm even on the fence with this COVID vaccine, because how do I know that it's just not a placebo? You know, how do I know it's just not liquid that they're pumping into my system after having achieved whatever goal that they were trying to achieve, and then now giving us a line saying in Canada, they're saying, oh, well, September 1st, the pandemic will be over. And my first question was, well, how do you know that it's going to be over on September 1st when 5 minutes ago I heard, well, we have 10 different variants and the vaccine may not work right. And blah, blah, blah. But you're telling me this one thing. So what's really going on here, right? So, you know, for me, I'm on the fence. I don't even know if it's real or not.
That is a crazy theory that I love. The idea that the vaccine is just a placebo. That is, yeah, man, you bent my mind right there.
I wonder if there's anybody out there who can get their hands on any of these vaccines and do a lab test on them and really see what's in those vaccines, or is it just a placebo? You know, for me, I'm thinking it's a placebo. You know, if you tell people that you got a vaccine, you're okay now, then they're going to think, oh, I'm okay now. And you change your perception. And once you change your perception, then that becomes reality. And then once that becomes right. reality, you're safe in that reality until you decide to either expand it or, you know, collapse it. It's, it really is up to you. So I don't, you know, for me, I don't really care either, Craig. Right.
You know, yeah, that's fair.
You know, I really don't care. I don't care if it's a pandemic. I don't care if it's a disease. I don't care if it's a virus. You know, I don't really care about any of those things because I am approaching things from a totally different perspective. Right. I'm not self-identifying as the little me. You know, yeah. I'm not self-identifying as, you know, anything. Only thing that I'm identifying as is that I'm an expression of the infinite consciousness that's exploring this eternal, you know, infinity.
And, so wait a minute, Omar, this is what I need to know now. Do you think it's possible for you and Joe Biden to meet together in a high vibrational place in one consciousness?
Well, absolutely, because Joe Biden himself is a unique expression of the same consciousness, right? He's okay. a projection of me as I am a projection of him, right? I'm having a unique experience of essentially just reliving a memory, right? I'm just a memory. You're just a memory because all of this has already happened. In every conceivable possibility, all of this has already happened. So when you look at, you know, guys like Joe Biden, you know, they too are us, right? They too are an expression of that very same consciousness that I belong to. That's why I say, you know, I've said, and I've been fighting with it for a while now, that I don't believe any one of us has an individual soul because none of us are an individual, right? We're just a unique perception of this infinite consciousness. So if we all share the same consciousness, then how is it that each and every single one of us has an individual soul? And if we have an individual soul, then that means that we are individuals, a single entity, a single being in its own right, when, you know, we are, you know, infinite consciousness. But to see, this whole soul idea was brought upon by these monolithic religions of, you know, right. of this last period that we've been living of the last several thousand years, right? Oh, if you don't follow the rule of the church or the mosque, then, you know, you're going to go to hell and your soul will burn forever. And that's kind of like right. where the idea of the soul came from. But prior to that, people just, you know, they didn't identify with that idea of a soul. Because you see, if I identify with the idea that I have a soul, then again, I'm self-identifying with something and I'm bringing myself from the macro into the micro and I'm taking that experience away from myself. So yeah. when you begin to approach life from that perspective, then these human affairs and these human politics and human games that are going on, at the end of the day, that it really don't matter anymore. Because, you know, we're just here for that short brief and we're just going to do what we need to do. We came here to do what we need to do. And once that's done, see you later, brother. I might yeah. be back. I might not be back. Who knows? But, you know, we can't give these types of events any energy. Right. That's why they keep giving us this variants. You have this variant and this variant and this variant. Tonight, 450 people were, you know, had COVID and 20 of yeah. them died. Every city is doing that, you know, throughout the entire world and creating this false perception, this false reality. And people are giving it energy, lots and lots and lots of energy. And it's going out of control. Now Mr. Potato Head is illegal. All because of COVID.
Right. And, you know, you asked me about cultural hypnotist. What does that mean when I call myself that? I think that's me just owning what those big people in power are doing in a way that is just being more explicit with it. I'm actually, in the same way that I think Penn and Teller are two of my favorite magicians ever. I also come from a magic background. They said, yeah, we're liars and cheats. I'm going, yes, I am a cultural hypnotist. The same thing that you see David Muir doing on ABC News and Wolf Blitzer doing, and then, you know, Tucker Carlson, whomever it is. These people are out there and they are shaping your perceptions in a way that's powerful because you have bought into this channel, this station, as a source of knowledge and truth. So when I'm saying I'm a cultural hypnotist, on one level, yes, my show is designed to do consciousness disruption. I want to open people's minds. I want to open people's loops. I want to shatter existing belief systems by introducing radically unique ideas. That's the main idea. On another level, I'm also saying, and by the very fact that I have this platform, I am actively working to influence your belief system to go and exist in alternative worlds. That's what it is. A cultural hypnotist is what they're all doing. They're just not calling it hypnotism like I am.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm doing too.
You are, man. You're a cultural hypnotist.
That's exactly my goal. That is exactly my goal.
Oh, yeah, dude. You are definitely a cultural hypnotist for sure.
It bothers me to see, my fellow projections having to go through this experience that we're all going through, and I just don't mean just recently 2020. I mean, like, for the last several thousand years, this terrible existence of fear and butchery and murder and rape and theft and conquering, and that's not us. That's not humans. This is something that's created by another force that's hijacked our world and is causing us to do things like these, because really we're not like that. We're a loving being, we're a compassionate being, and we have been like that since the dawn of whenever we came into existence. Okay, so with that being said, Greg, we've passed the one-hour mark, brother, and went by pretty fast.
Yeah, no, I really love this.
Yeah, great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to be emceeing at Forgery Unmasked coming up next weekend. I can't believe how soon it's coming up. I am so excited. Yeah. Everybody's going to be such fascinating speakers all across the board. I'm honored you asked me to be a part of it. And if you're listening, watching, I really hope you can join us as well, because it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, me too. We've got 28 speakers, 6 MCs. We've got pretty much every single continent covered through, except for Antarctica. But, maybe Brad will talk about Antarctica, right? So, it's, who knows? But definitely he's going to be talking about anomalies of South America. And I'm sure he may even make a connection with Antarctica. But we got tons and tons of speakers. 3-day event happening next weekend, March 27th, 28th, and the 29th, called Forgery Unmasked. Tickets are $33, and let me throw this out there, guys. I understand this whole pandemic situation and everything that's happening financially. So if you cannot afford a full ticket price and you still like to attend the summit, please reach out to me. I'm sure we can work out something, and then we'll go from there. I'm a pretty laid back guy. I don't want to make money, but I also just want to pay for the platform as well. Right. And that's really what my my goal is at the end of the day. So if you can't afford the tickets, please contact me. We'll work something out. And with that being said, thank you very much, Greg.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Open Loops. I will provide the link in the comments and with all the in the description. And while you're looking down there in that description, right down there, there's that like button. Go ahead and give it a tap, and confuse the algorithm and force it to share this out with thousands of potentially other people. So this was a fantastic conversation. It was a mind-bending conversation. Really enjoyed it.
And thank you,
really
Omar.
Really looking forward to the next time, and looking forward to the summit coming up this weekend. We're going to have a fantastic time. We're going to have a lot of great minds all together in one spot, and we're going to try to answer the question of who we are, as a civilization and as a people, as a spiritual people, as a scientific people, as an engineer, as really everything. And we'll look at it from all perspectives. So thank you very much, guys. Much love to you. I really appreciate you guys. Please share this stream. This is Omar coming at you guys from Team Watchers Talk from West Coast, British Columbia, Canada. And I will see you guys here. What is today? Today is Saturday. So actually, I'm on later on this evening. I've got a big, big surprise for you guys. Tune in for 6 o'clock. That's why I haven't made the poster or anything. It's just going to be an impromptu going live at 6 Pacific Standard Time. I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy this one. So I will see you guys at 6 p.m. tonight. Much love, and have yourself a great afternoon and an evening. And until tonight, bye-bye.